Shalom Chaverim. Baruch haba l'chol makshivim. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi Kehilat HaMashiach B'toch Yisrael. Welcome, my friends, to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My friends, let's talk about mirrors for a little while. You will not find the subject uninteresting, for mirrors can prove to be very suggestive articles. Mirrors can reflect more than the image of tangible objects within their sphere of reproduction. Mirrors can reflect motives, too. The coquette in her mirror may behold only her features and the fruit of her own attention to enhance her personal attractiveness. But a clear-eyed observer will also behold the reflection of her unworthy character and ulterior motive. Of course, mirrors need not necessarily be made of glass to reflect virtues or lack of them. Indeed, behavior is the best of mirrors for the particular purpose. For was it not Goethe who remarked that behavior is a mirror in which everyone shows his image? Oh, I think we have commenced an alluring excursion. Was it not true that at the initial mention of the word mirror, our minds flew to roost upon a single perch of silvered glass? But mirrors are made of stuff other than glass, as we have seen. Is there yet more? Well, L.D. Pihowska has composed some very fragrant lines about another kind of mirror when he writes, "High in the clefts of the rock, mid the cedars, hangeth the harebell, the waterfall nigh. Blue are its petals, deep blue, tinged with purple, mystical tintings that mirror the sky." But perhaps on the human plane, the most beautiful mirror any woman could desire is that so elegantly expressed by John Tobin. "She's adorned amply, that in her husband's eye looks lovely, the truest mirror that an honest wife can see her beauty in." You will notice that I ventured to confine this sweet and touching sentiment to the human plane, because the eye, as the mirror of love, is not the discovery of John Tobin, but the disclosure of the God of Israel. Believe me, this is among the choicest of the treasures from Tanakh that I am able to unearth for your delight. The sacred scriptures grant us the tender revelation that the Jewish nation and people are mirrored in the all-seeing and loving eye of the eternal God of Israel. This delicate sentiment is first expressed in Deuteronomy chapter 32, where, in declaring that his portion is his people, and Jacob is the lot of his inheritance, the Lord of hosts affirms that he has kept Israel ki ishan eino, as the apple of his eye. In the second chapter of the scripture book named after the prophet Zechariah, we meet with the very same expression in the English translation, where God says of the relation between Israel and himself, "Surely he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye." In the Zechariah passage, however, the Hebrew expression is a different one. It is bevaat eino, literally the hollow of his eye. Now, my friends, we are in for some delicate fare as we inhale the fragrance of this rare reflection. The word used by Zechariah comes from the Hebrew root buv, and the imagery of the expression is daring and delicious. The expanding and contracting opening in the iris of the eye, through which light passes to the retina, is poetically conceived as a hollow liquid laver, which serves as a reflecting surface, mirroring in diminutive form the object within its proximity and range. The word in Deuteronomy and elsewhere is a delightful one, and emphasizes this diminutive in the object reflected. The word ish means man, but here the word is ishon, literally meaning little man. This will be understood when the eye is conceived as a mirror, reflecting in that which we call the pupil of the eye, a diminutive representation of the full-size object before it. Indeed, the very word pupil, you may remember, comes from the Latin pupilla and means a little doll. Isn't this an exquisite notion? Israel, the Jewish people, viewed collectively as represented in the patriarch Jacob, whose name was divinely changed to Israel, is so close before and within the affectionate and constant regard of the Holy One that the very eye of the Eternal mirrors the impression of his people in diminutive form. But since, for the moment, my messages are encompassing the tabernacle in the wilderness, as disclosed in the book of Exodus, you are doubtless wondering why I am speaking of mirrors. However attractive the theme has proved to the apparent neglect of our current topic. Ah, my friends, the neglect is only apparent, for I have yet another reference to mirrors, and in a setting very pertinent to our current motif. In our examination of the major furnishings of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, we have already considered the wall of the outer courtyard, its door, and the four colors comprising that door. We also had some choice minutes around the altar of burnt offering inside the door. The very next object that commands our attention is the laver, known in Hebrew as the kior. This was a vessel of copper, probably circular in shape, containing water with which the priests, by command, were required to wash their hands and feet before offering sacrifice to the Eternal God. Resting on a base or foot, it stood between the altar of burnt offering and the entrance to the Mishkan proper. And the mirrors? Oh, yes. It was made entirely of the highly polished and beautifully ornamented metal which the women used as mirrors. The Hebrew women, during the exodus from Egypt, probably brought with them mirrors similar to the burnished copper reflectors common to Egyptian use. The mirror, in ancient Jewish tradition, was a symbol of generation and new life. Employed by the women as a necessary adjunct to guide them in the best display of their attractiveness, the resultant desire awakened in their husbands brought the blessing of many children to adorn the union. Symbolically, then, the laver speaks of new life, regeneration associated with washing of purification because of having passed towards the presence of God through the atoning blood of sacrifice shed at the door of the outer courtyard. Within the courtyard, its walls that once seemed to shut out now appear like loving arms, protectively encircling the sinner redeemed by atoning blood and regenerated by the water of the laver. Water is a very ancient Jewish symbol for the Word of God, the Scriptures. One ancient Jewish tradition observes that, as the sand fills the whole earth, so the offspring of Abraham would be scattered over the whole earth from end to end. And as the earth is blessed only when it is moistened with water, so his offspring would be blessed through the Torah, which is likened to water. Another tradition declares that as the thorn bush requires ample water for its growth, so Israel can prosper only through the Torah, the celestial water. Ere we close, let us gather together our divine symbolism so far gleaned and marshal it before us, so that it too can be a mirror, picturing for our enlightenment the spiritual truths within the range of reflection. You will recall that in our approach to the personal presence of God in the midst of the Mishkan, the great white walls seemed to discourage us, for they reflected the awful holiness of God, and we knew we fell short of that requisite standard. It was fortunate we didn't turn back, because in the east wall we found a door, colorful and eloquent. We traced its fourfold symbolism in Tanakh and discovered that it, too, was a mirror reflecting Messiah as king, servant, man, and deity. We were then startled to find that this fourfold Tanakh presentation is exactly the presentation of Messiah in the New Testament Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, respectively. Moving further on towards God through that very door, we were confronted with a brazen altar and found that this stately symbol of substitutionary sacrifice again mirrored the service of the suffering servant wounded for our transgressions. Our still farther approach confronted us with the laver, and that mirror-made ablutionary mirrored for us the Word of God, through which we learn these precious truths, and believing them, receive the second circumcision, of which our teacher Moses spoke in the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. Regeneration, spiritual genesis, new life is the light reflected from the laver. How well the New Testament puts it when it declares, "He saved us, not because of upright deeds that we had done, but in accordance with His mercy, through the laver of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." May our hands, the symbol of our works, and our feet, the symbol of our daily walk, reflect abundantly that regeneration divinely bestowed upon us through Messiah's atoning blood. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav eilecha vihunecha, Yisar Adonai panav eilecha, V'yaseim lecha, Shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.